welcome to another exciting episode. Hey, we got a sub right off the bat of Best of Five, a weekly FGC talk show presented by the gentleman you see in front of you, as well as these two fine gents via Skype. John Velociraptor Guerrero, he writes for EventHubs.com. You're going to see him in a second. He is feeling a little blue today. I do appreciate you. Yes? Not only are you blue, there's a mouse cursor over your face, which I'm going to blame squarely on Ilan Rushkovsky. And we have also joining us live via Skype from, where are you from, Minnesota?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jerk. Now, I have a question for the chat. Are y'all hearing an echo? Because I'm kind of hearing an echo. Ilan, if you're going to speak, please turn on your microphone.
It's John's fault. Blame John.
John, come on, John. All right, tonight on the show, I don't know if you guys heard, but there's been a reduction in lag. Also, Soul Calibur 6 is worth buying for the character customization alone. We'll investigate. But first, a recap. Steve, what you got, pal?
I got a lot of stuff. There was quite a bit that went down this weekend. A couple of CPT events, starting with Jamfest in Brazil. That one was all about Sunday, Itazan versus Brazil. And Itazan won. He took it over Arturo Rey in the grand final. Stunner and Kaoma rounding out the top four. So Itazan finally getting his first win of the season. Big time to do it as we get closer and closer to that cutoff. If we take a look at the Latin American standings, that was the final Latin American event before the regional finals. So we will have four players fighting for the four players spots in that final to be determined. Caba, Brolinho, HK Dash, and Piccolo have clinched spots, but there may be a little bit of a change with that top four. We'll dive into that a little later on. That wasn't the only CPT event, though, this weekend. We also had East Coast Throwdown out in New Jersey, and it is another win for Knuckledew. I believe his fourth, if I remember correctly, in North American ranking events. IDOM in second. Punk had a hell of a loser's bracket run. He lost his third match of the tournament in pools and then had to make the run all the way up through Gamer B up to third place. So pretty strong weekend for him. If we take a look at the North American standings, Knuckledew easily stretching his lead in the regional standings. IDOM and Punk now both among the top eight.
Hey, no joke. That was a real hype as F tournament. That was a lot of fun to watch. I'm sorry, as you were.
Hey, go ahead. You can talk about how hype it was.
Didn't you guys have a good time?
I unfortunately was not able to watch it. I had a lot of writing to do.
I'm not saying this doesn't happen regularly, but there was something the excitement of like, oh, dude, that match is going to be good. Ooh, man, that match is going to be good. Oh, I can't wait for that match. This is going to be fun. And I feel like I haven't felt that in a while. I think I'm finally coming around. And this was pre-lag reduction on Street Fighter V based on this tournament alone.
So now you're all in? Forget waiting for T-Hawk?
Wait a second. First of all, my Street Fighter V love is the one and only Bonita. And maybe that had something to do with it because Idom was rocking her. But clearly now that the frames of lag have been reduced, it's my time.
Is it really your time?
Just you watch.
We'll see. We'll see.
Time out. John, what is going on, dude? You're like every color. What are you doing, dude?
I'm trying to make it better.
Is there like a disco ball or
something? Is there a key? What does it mean if John's blue?
Yeah. Does that mean that he's yeah, what does that mean, Steve?
It means he's not qualified for the Capcom Pro Tour Finals.
Every color that it turns to means that he's not qualified for the season.
It's just a rotating color scheme, you know.
Of not qualified.
He will be every color but green.
All right, moving on. Back to the recap.
All right, let's talk about the people who are qualified for Capcom Cup. We've got 16 players who have officially punched their ticket, 1 through 15, obviously, as well as MenRD. Punk now slightly in the safe zone, but not all that safe. Gamer B within 12 points of him. Could have moved into that cutoff with the top three finish. So, yeah, it is going to be a very, very tight race coming down to the wire. Also of note, Gamer B now that first person out in terms of the Asia standings. So the race between him, Mago, and Storm Kubo is going to be a very, very tight one. And Haitani, because he's only in the field by 2 points. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be very tight with just 4 events remaining in the entire season before camp.
And if all of them passed Punk, he would take Toy's spot, right?
Punk would take Toy's spot if Punk drops below that line.
Do you know who's behind Toy?
I have it up right here, but I have it sorted by the North American standings. So give me about 20 seconds.
All right, everybody just wait.
It's kind of interesting. Do you know when is the North America final?
That is the same weekend as the it's the same event as the Red Bull finals.
Right.
So mid-November.
That's right around the corner.
We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. So the first person in North America after Toy is Cool Kid.
At how many points? 340.
At 340.
Okay, so Toy is like, it's going to be really interesting. He's going to be really hoping for someone else to get there and for Punk to do well. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting scenario.
I mean, Punk just got picked up. Does that, in the past, has that ever correlated with, like, a boost in performance? Like, hey, somebody cares about me and picked me up, and now I'm feeling really good.
He's just been doing well at the end of the season anyway. It seems like he's kind of back in gear. So,
plus, he plays a footsie character in a footsie style with less lag in the game now.
Feels like it can't hurt
everyone.
And of course, we'll be talking about what that means for the game, good or bad, and everything in between here in a second, even though we kind of touched about it already earlier, but now we have a lot more information. Going on with the recap.
Yeah, let's keep it going at ECT. Not only was it part of the Capcom Pro Tour, but it was also the last chance qualifier for the Injustice Pro Series, the final spot in the IPS finals on the line. And it was Basics with a pretty dominating performance, taking it over Nubcakes to win that 16th and final spot in the Chicago finals. We have a list of everyone in the field there. You see Basics join some familiar faces as Sonic Fox, Tekken Master, Scar, also Hey George, who, like I mentioned last week, won the Latin America Liga Latina qualifier. So those are the 16 players you will see next month in Chicago on ESPN2.
Hey, shout outs to the people who have subbed. Milan, would you be kind enough to remove or unmute yourself and tell us who has subbed? Hold on, huh?
It was P. Zera, 10 of Clubs, and Anonymous.
Anonymous.
And now grown-up Mike.
We have child Mike here.
As opposed to me.
And okay. Shout out to everybody who subbed to the show. It means a lot. It helps us and our bottom line. Yep. We all live off of this. And more importantly, if you subbed, you now have a new emote. An emote that you might say eclipses all other emotes.
Completely eclipses.
It's a total eclipse even. Completely eclipses anything you've seen in any other emote on any other stream ever, without question. And if you type in BOV eclipse with a capital E, you too can eclipse other emotes from other streams.
Yep,
completely.
And to add to that, that was thanks in part, or actually thanks entirely to you guys, because we reached the threshold to get more emotes from Twitch.
That's thanks to, what's his name?
Die by Sword. Gifted every single person.
Who gifted actual Noel Brown, actual Infiltration, and also Brent Kavanaugh and a couple others.
Yeah. Punk as well.
And with that said, we are 9 emotes away from the next emote. So
nine subs.
Nine subs. What did I say? Emotes from the emotes? All right.
And we've been reworking our block and grab emotes as well. So you'll see those.
Steve took the initiative and worked up some cool new stuff for us with the help of, I think you outsourced it. But they're almost ready.
Carmen Wang.
They're almost ready. Who was it again?
It was Carmen Wang.
Carmen Wang. Shout outs.
Did some very, very good work for us. So thank you very much for that. Like I said, we'll hopefully get those other two out to you very soon.
Can't wait.
Let's keep it going at ECT because we had a week zero tournament, a day one tournament for Soul Calibur 6. And it was not won by Sonic Fox, as a lot of people might expect. Mm-hmm. It was Linkors, who beat him twice. He won 3-0 in the winner's final, 3-0 in the grand final to take the tournament. KDZ getting a top three finish for the Empire as well. And then also look at top 16, Jaxel. That is a name I have not seen in a while, but glad to see him back in the mix of things. And hopefully, you know, with Soul Calibur launching, we'll see a lot more of him.
Feels like the game's been out like 3 days and Sonic Fox has gotten second in like six tournaments already. Soul Calibur.
Dude, he's not winning. That's a cool narrative to hear. You know?
Oh, that'll change soon.
You think so?
I think that'll change very soon.
I mean, I feel like he's proven that he can dominate in new games. Granted, this is the next installment of an existing franchise, but you don't think he can hang in there?
No, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying I think, like, I would bet my life saving Sonic Fox wins a Soul Calibur 6 tournament within a month.
Right on. what do you got there, John?
Is John taking a selfie?
I think John's taking a selfie of himself. Or
taking a picture of the computer screen.
Okay. You know, there's a way to do a screen grab of to do a Command Shift 3. Usually that will take snapshots on your screen.
There's actually a screen grab button on most computers.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to take a picture of it, I mean, it's fine. Yeah, no big deal. All right, so moving on with the recap. I feel like there's an East Coast Throne 2018 other tournament results page that we could talk about.
Yeah. It was a pretty big weekend out there, a whole lot going on. Fighting GM taking Tekken. Sonic Fox did get a win in Dragon Ball Fighters in a pretty stacked tournament. You had those big three names. Yohosier was out there as well. The electrifying Marlin Pie getting a win in Exerd over Nokami. And then a strong weekend for Bass, Chris G, and 18 Go. It's probably the Japanese pronunciation, and I messed up. All three of those players getting two wins out there at ECT. It was also a big weekend for Tekken. You had both Tekken World Tour events and a pretty big non-Tekken World Tour event. Master Cup, if you don't know, 5v5 team tournament. Massive, massive deal. This one had over 1,200 players out there, 240-plus teams, and it was Team Yamasa of Bats, Nishi, Nobi, Take, and Yu taking it over Team First on All-Star, which included Cherry Berry Mango, the Evo champion Lohai, Rangchu. There's so much talent out there. Some ridiculous play all weekend and some ridiculous team names too. Can we give a shout out to Team Inverses featuring the World's Great Mountain? And it's all Pacific Ocean Kun's fault. That's probably one of my favorite parts of Master Cup, not just the play, but seeing some of these ridiculous names that come out.
Also, something else worthy of note for Master Cup is they used the old version of Tekken because the arcade versions don't have the Season 2 patch yet. But that's something we'll probably be talking about a little bit later in the show.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right on.
Yeah.
This year's Master Cup was actually a two-day event. The second day was dedicated to a tournament called Master Cup Tri, which was a 1v1 tournament where the top finishers got a Japanese Esports Union Pro player license. So congratulations to Chikurin and Jotaro top two finishers there who got licenses, and they'll be able to compete in those Tekken Pro Championship events with the bigger prize pools out in Japan now. Taking it back to the Tekken World Tour, this was the next to last event of the season, and it was a good time for Super Akuma to get win number three. Took it over Mitra's Storm, and he was styling on people. There were, I knew I forgot to download that clip. But there's a clip out there from Twitch Esports from the winner's finals where he's doing some ridiculous side switch combos in Infinite Azure. You know, he's pulling off shit that you shouldn't be able to do without walls and without floor breaks, yet he was absolutely in the zone. So he got the win. Also important, Dimebag, the person he was tied with, those two were tied for the last spot going in. Dimebag got knocked out in 17th place, earned no points. So he is hurting going into Canada Cup. If we take a look at the global standings, you will see that Super Akuma, now in that 13th spot, is officially clinched for the Tekken World Tour Finals, along with Fergus, Rangchu, Joey Fury, and Chanel, who all clinched this weekend. Four spots on the line, and we've got nine players who have a chance to earn those spots. And a little later on, I'll go a bit more into depth about how they can get into the Tekken World Tour Finals.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time like putting together scenarios, if this, then that, to make it in, right?
Yes. I will have a complete breakdown later this week on TekkenWorldTour.com. It is let me put this into perspective. My usual previews for these events are about a page and a half. This one is close to five pages, just going over everything that needs to happen for each of those nine players to clinch a spot. It is a lot going on.
Well,
you ever notice our compatriots publish all their best work not on Best of Five show?
What are you going to do, man?
What are you going to do?
I mean, if it's not John interviewing Mike effing Ross, or Steve doing his badass work for Tekken.
Meanwhile, we're stuck here without potable water.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a boil warning in Austin for 2 weeks.
Do not drink
the water. Do not drink the tap water without boiling it first. That's our life.
So I probably shouldn't do this then.
You son of a bitch. Well, no. Go ahead. It's important to be hydrated.
Oh, Efren.
Yes?
Tap2GG put that clip in
chat. Let me see if I can get it.
Yeah. Because you just need to see this. He's just styling on people.
It's in the chat. But yeah. Okay. I don't know, but I need to download it so that y'all can see it via El Streamo. That's Spanish for the stream.
While you're doing that, can we talk about what happened at Master Cup?
Talk about it.
Yeah, bro. Talk about it.
All right. There was some controversy in the grand final between Team Yamasa and First Sun All-Stars. It came down to Take, who was the next to last player on Team Yamasa, and Lohai, who was the anchor for Team First Sun.
He's getting tagged. He's moving.
Yeah,
like,
and you'll see the clip. This is the last round of that game, and there's a point where Lohai just stops.
Someone do something.
That's not all that uncommon in Tekken. So, Take didn't think anything of it. They played it out. Take ended up winning that round, winning the tournament. He goes to celebrate, and a minute later, an organizer comes over and says, "Hey, wait a second, we got an issue," because this is why he stopped. If you look at the lower right-hand corner, you'll see Lohai's screen. It blacks out for about 2 seconds.
Oh my god!
That's why he stopped moving.
Now that probably inhibits your ability to continue to compete, right? Would you guys agree with that? Blocker grab on whether a black screen is bad,
like a round ender to me. Like that should instantly be cut out. Like, even if it doesn't affect the game for more than like two frames, it completely fucks up your train of thought. Like it's outside the game.
Yeah.
So they the organizers discussed it. They reviewed the situation and they came to the decision that because Lohi did not immediately ask for play to be stopped, and because they were in neutral before the blackout and after he came back, there was no damage done, they decided that the result would stand, and Team Yamasa's victory stands.
You get out of your situation if you do it that way, right? Because it's like if they don't cut it off there and just say, well, the decision stands, then they have a shit ton more stuff on their plate that they have to deal with. So they're going for whatever they can or whatever route they can take to get to the ruling stands.
I don't like it. I don't know. If a streaker runs out in the middle of a soccer match, you know, like they do something about it.
But
they're
not just like,
he passed. Like, it's fine. Keep it playing. No, like, this is outside the game.
What is the ruling when something like that happens, though? When a streaker runs on the field or an animal gets loose or something like that and runs into a baseball diamond?
They stop the game pretty instantly, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
But there's no equivalent of, like, you're not going to hit pause on the game, right? Like, I guess what would be the appropriate thing to do? Literally just like, hey, playing it over, which sucks, right? Because it's, like, not their fault.
So you got to play the whole set over, or you go back to, like, reset the round?
I would say that game, that one in particular.
We haven't really had a fighting game streaker yet. The closest we had was the Ghost of Marvel.
That was fantastic.
Well, or at Combo Breaker, too. We had the
Tupperware.
Dude who...
Yeah, Tupperware doing the E-Honda.
Oh, yeah. But that's like, I want like a mid-match distraction streaker.
No,
like,
at Combo Breaker 2017, that dude ran up to Chris G during like loser's semis.
Oh, yeah. It's always Chris.
And he got
that's
put
right.
in Combo Breaker jail.
He got put in jail. Yeah.
See, I don't like this ruling. I understand that at most tournaments, if something goes wrong, you typically have to let somebody know right away, otherwise you let it rock. This instance, it feels different to me, because in those situations you don't necessarily know what's happening. You know, if you're running a bracket, you've got 2 to 4 stations that you're watching over, so you can't possibly see everything. In this situation, they had video evidence. Mm-hmm. It was very clear what happened.
Yep. See,
it was very
around.
Clear that Lohi didn't have anything to do with it.
It was final.
And I just feel like this situation, it wasn't handled correctly.
Okay, first question. They brought up that Lohi didn't do anything immediately. How much of a responsibility goes on to the player?
Should be none.
Where he should have gone like this and just said, nope, something happened. Which I don't think most people are going to do, because you're also like, oh, crap, I still need to win this round. It's still going, you know? So your instincts are going to tell you to keep playing.
Right.
It looked like there was people watching, like, right behind them, too. Like, almost as if there were refs. Like, this, like, I don't know. That is the quote-unquote ref's job at that point.
Yeah, I feel like in that situation, it's sort of like in pro sports where you're taught play to the whistle.
Oh my
you know,
God.
If his hand was on the stick. If it's something where there isn't anybody watching and like an accidental pause, that I would say, yeah, go get a TO. But something like this, you don't know what's going on, and the match is still continuing when it goes on. So Lohi... And I completely understand his instinct to just continue playing. Now, here's the question. Would he have said anything if the match continued and he ended up winning that round? I don't think so. So I do think there's questions of fairness in that, but I just feel like this was the completely wrong decision. And it sucks for both players because, you know, it's not Take's fault. He played it out. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and now people are going to be talking about this is how you won instead of...
Yeah. Well, I think it being in neutral almost makes it an easier decision, too, because it's like, oh, if we stop it right here, no one can really complain that hard. So I think they really dropped the ball on this.
Steve, I have that clip of the Super Akuma cross-up. Do you want to see it?
Yes, please, because we need to look at this ridiculousness. That side switch right there. Yeah. He was just on a completely different level. He was making this, and this wasn't pools. This was winner's finals against the eventual runner-up. Mitra Storm is a really strong player. The Italian scene for Tekken is very strong because you got Tishman out there, you've got Harry Potter, you've got a ton of good players, and he was just styling on them.
Harry Potter's really good at this game, you're right.
That's the guy's name! That's the guy's name!
Bugs Bunny, dude. Mickey Mouse.
Speaking of Harry, what's going on with your chest there, John? You're really letting it hang out, huh?
I'm wearing a tank top, and also, but I put a sweater on to be classy.
But people don't usually wear sweaters underneath their tank tops.
You're right. They usually wear sweaters over their tank tops.
That was a joke about your chest hair, John. All right, moving on.
Smart.
That was... Wow.
Got him. Why is everyone being an asshole to me today? God.
All right, what else do you want to talk about, Master Cup, or do we still have recap to go?
We don't have recap to go, but there were a few things announced at Master Cup that I kind of wanted to touch on. First off, being Strong Style Japan. They are bringing a Japanese version out for July 2019. And the big thing is that the main event will be a 3v3 team tournament. Which, if you saw what happened at Master Cup, you know that it's going to be some ridiculous stuff going down. So I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, what the hell happened with the audio? Is that you, Alon?
I got it. Just fucking chill.
I didn't hear it, but I got people here saying my ears. Oh, damn. Oh, fuck.
This is how
boom,
we flood
the
out
fuck?
The non-fans.
Rip ears, my ears. Ow, ow, ow.
If you can't stick
the fuck
through it, then you're not a real fan.
Well, Blanca Rolls Bros says, nah, turn it up. and then somebody here says, can't have a best of five episode without some ear rape.
Damn. I don't know how you choose what comments to read.
I mean...
Well, if ear rape's in there, it goes to the top of the priority.
Yeah, okay. Well, sorry, guys. Please don't unsub Dizlin.
He's not subbed in the first place.
Yeah, Dizlin. How about you sub so you can unsub? That'll really...
He was sub and then unsub.
Yeah.
They also announced that Tekken 7 hit across the 3 million copy sold threshold.
Hey, neat.
Yeah, so... pretty good success for them. And Elon mentioned that it was the older version of Tekken 7 because that hadn't been updated to Season 2. Season 2 is coming. They did announce that during Master Cup. So Faded Revolution Volume 2. What did I say?
Something else.
Attribution, I think you said. Hey, Dizlin!
No.
Now unsub. Thank you, Dead by Sword. Not you, Dizlin.
Yeah, you're a dick.
God, okay.
Enjoy your BOV eclipse. Hit us with it. You were saying, John? Steve? Also, John, if you could cover up even more, that'd be good.
I don't know what's going on here. So yeah. Why do you look like a mushroom?
Why are you on me? Like, just keep doing it. Yeah, keep going.
It's tough to do this when I'm co-hosting with the mushroom. But anyway, so yeah, that will be coming. So you can expect a boost in the Japanese scene, because those arcade killers will finally get a chance to play with the new stuff. You know, it's a complete 180 from what we are used to with Bandai Namco. Because remember, you know, this game took 2 years to come out from console or from arcade to console. You know, console was just so far behind. And now we're seeing console so far ahead. It's uncharted territory.
Hey, but what I want to know is how much are they paying you to come in here and just hawk Tekken for like 30 minutes, dude?
Not enough.
Yeah,
as far as I know, we're not wetting our beak in that. Are you, Steve?
I don't have a beak to wet.
Neither does John, apparently.
No.
John, pull the strings a little tighter, if you would.
Yeah.
There you go. That's about right. Got it. Nailed it, bro. All right, moving on. What else you got for us, Steve? Did you hear Soul Calibur came out?
I might have come across it once or twice.
Yeah. Well, I'm particularly excited about it because it gave our boy Lana no chance to steal the channel and stream for a while. And when he wasn't talking about owls and his favorite dishes, he was actually playing the game. Killick, I think you were rocking. What can you tell us? I have some questions.
Well, I got the hour wrong of when it was releasing, so
that's
we
right.
got to go through a rabbit hole of looking at owl pictures for
mm-hmm.
an hour.
Mm-hmm. And so confused as to why, but, you know, it was entertaining.
I mean, look, I had a blast looking at owls.
Okay.
If I can be so frank, I think I had more fun looking at owls than I did playing the game. Not that that's a bad thing on the game. I just enjoyed looking at
Those
owls.
Those owl pictures were just that great?
Yeah, they were great.
Now, I have some questions because I remember playing Soul Calibur back in the day and, you know, pre-09, just button mashing and having fun, right? Before I even knew that there was a fighting game community that took fighting games so seriously.
Same.
So I've never played Soul Calibur on the, you know, on that level. Or looked
Same.
At it. So I have questions about the mechanics.
Okay. What are your questions?
And this is open to the dais here, including yourself, of course, Alon. How in this game does the meter work?
So you have a few options depending on what character you pick.
Okay.
The universal mechanics are you have a soul charge, which is essentially like a V-trigger.
And each character has one?
Each character has one, and they do different things.
Such as?
For example, Keelik, he turns into Nikali.
Okay. So that's what that was?
He gets an unbelievable damage boost. He gets chip on block. But the trade-off is he starts losing health.
Okay.
So it's a very risky thing.
Sounds Pandora mode.
Kinda.
But good?
Well, I mean, he loses health hella fast. So it's kind of rough. So that's Keelix's example. And Yoshimitsu, for example, that's the other character I was playing. His whole thing with the game is he can steal your quote-unquote soul, which he steals meter. In soul charge, or the install activation, he starts stealing life instead of meter.
Mm.
Okay. So each character has like a different
copy that.
That changes.
Got it. Recorded. How does chip work? Is it only when you're in these states?
Yeah, for a few characters. I don't know. I don't think it's for all of them.
Because I was surprised. I was seeing some people taking chip damage and couldn't really make out what was happening, but I was like, I didn't know this game had chip.
Yeah, I think it's just in this soul charge mode. I'm not okay. entirely sure. I haven't had enough time in the game to look.
There are ultras in this game?
Yep. The other way to spend meter is with a super, which they call Critical Edge, which, again, it differs by character. Like, there are a lot of characters that have their soul or their Critical Edge be completely invisible, or invincible, rather, not invisible. There are others that the startup is not invincible, but the time after startup is unbelievably great.
Okay.
It's very independent character-wise.
Right on. You're happy with it?
I had a lot of fun. The one issue I have with it, and maybe this is just one of those, it's new and nobody's gotten used to it yet, and this is something else that other people have shown concern over, is the reversal edge mechanic.
Is that like a parry or something?
It's what
it's the
we
RPS mode.
Yeah, it's what we showed a little while ago when I recorded something for the beta the last time we were talking about this, where essentially it just goes into this ridiculous like rock, paper, scissors, zombies, gun, nuke type mode. And what that does, the reason why this is weird is A, the activation for it gives you an automatic parry. So any situation you're in, if you mash that out, you're gonna get out of whatever situation you're in. So the game knowledge there, like, there's a pretty big out on any tricky situation. And B, even if you're the one that activates this, you can still get your ass kicked by it if you guess wrong.
So it's kind of sort of like Clash, except instead of building
Injustice
betting
Clash?
Meter that you've earned, yeah, instead of building betting meter that you've earned, you're throwing out, you know, a guess. Now, it can be an educated guess because you've got situations where I think it's Astaroth, where if he goes B and you're in a stage that allows ring out, your ass is getting thrown out.
Yeah,
so then you have to.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I like it though.
Yeah, so then you get some situations like where, like the TAC combos in Marvel 3, where you can't afford to steal meter, so they can just get a side a down for free, or I forget the direction it was. My bad.
Yeah, but in addition to that, it also gives you like I think it's like a quarter of a bar of meter if you activate it. So it's one of those things where if things keep going the way they are, I can definitely see the meta just being like, use a reversal edge until you get meter to activate, and then your character is like super buff for a while. So I think we're going to see a lot of reversal edges in a not so great way, just because like there's a very little risk to how much reward you get out of it.
Mm.
So that's one thing that concerns me.
Hey, shout outs to CP.
That sounds like that.
It's kind of weird too, because the different characters get combos off different options. It's not consistent, so there's a lot of character knowledge that you need to like properly weight the decisions of each one.
And there are also some characters who can cancel out of it, so you see the red flash start up and they can cancel into something else.
Hey, shout outs to CPT Damon for the sub.
Oh, CPT Damon, thanks
Damon.
Gracias, Senor Anderson.
All right. Thoughts on... One thing I was super impressed by was the amount... And we saw this a little bit with Tekken, but I think there was more of it with Soul Calibur, was the amount of people who you don't traditionally associate with the FGC streaming this game. You had people from League of Legends and such. But one thing that I was surprised and happy to see was that the number one streamer, at least as far as I caught, was... Eris, right? Avoid the Puddle. With like 7,000 viewers watching him play this game. It's fantastic. I thought that was great.
This is one of those things where, like, in his stream, Eris, like, and a lot of people have been very excited for this game. Right? So it's finally, like, it's kind of like when Tekken finally got released. It's almost in the same vein. Or same thing with Street Fighter when Street Fighter V first got released. It's everybody was just building anticipation to this, and here it is. That's the big time. And I think with Soul Calibur, it's a little bit differently, just because I think we've all played Soul Calibur and seen it, like, looked at it differently than Street Fighter, right? I think maybe, like, it could just be because we all, like, with the Soul Calibur characters that there are, maybe we got attached to them, or maybe it's just the history of the guest characters that everybody loves were in it. Like, you know, we talked about it a little bit before, like Link, Heihachi, Spawn, like the
Taki, like in Soul Calibur 2, Taki brought me into like the beginning of adolescence. Seeing her like started everything. So I owe a lot to Soul Calibur.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So and it's kind of like the big boom. I'm just gonna gloss through that one. It's kind of like the big boom that Street Fighter 4 saw when we got Street Fighter 4 after what, like a decade of no Street Fighter.
And that's why like Mortal Kombat comes out and you get a ton of, you know, it sells really well. It's like it does play on the nostalgia. Oh shit, new Mortal Kombat game. Oh shit, new Soul Calibur game. But I think that the real reason why it did so well is very easy to spot, and that is the giant lizard dicks.
Yeah, it is.
It was definitely the giant lizard dicks.
I can't argue against
it. It's interesting because this is a game where, yet again, Capcom had come out with some of the problems that are in this game, it would be complete pandemonium.
Such as?
The online is trash, and even the biggest of shills for the games are admitting it. The game has, at this point, much worse input lag than Street Fighter V. Now, it's been out much less time, but the input lag is bad. The whole character creations and ranked means that, like, you know, they have different hurt boxes and hit boxes, so like the characters don't function the same depending on what creative character you're using. I'm not saying it's like awful. I'm just saying it's like another one of these situations where people should look at like who they give and don't give, you know, criticism to, because it's not like the company that made this game is small.
That's fair. Y'all want to block and grab on some of these character creations?
Is Lizard Dick going to be one of them?
Lizard Dick is not a part of these. I'm sorry, Chief.
Oh, what is this, a PG-13?
I should probably mention this before, just as a heads up. Any of you who play Linux, all eight of you, that was terrible. I apologize to any Linux users. If you play the game through Linux or through Steam Play, there are reports that opening the game with that active completely locks you out of playing online due to triggering something with the anti-cheat system. So if you do have Linux on your system or you play through Linux, be wary of that.
Kind of sick that it has a Linux port, though. That makes me happy.
And Street Fighter V does it.
Can you hear us with that block grab?
Block grab.
Lizard dicks.
Lizard dick edition. Hey, hit us with that Magikarp, Elon. So this is one of the impressive ones that came out. I guess this is like Voldo's a character, but when he gets in that stance, they made him look like a flopping around
this
Magikarp.
This is, I mean, like... This has got to be the most creative use.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here with the rest of this block grab.
Character creation I've ever seen in a fighting game.
It's impressive.
Maybe ever. I mean, that's just... And I like how the Spider-Man guy was probably, like, so excited to show off his Spider-Man. And he got one up so fucking bad.
He got snapped pretty hard.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, okay.
Easy grab.
Okay, so let's go around and block grab on that. Steve?
Grab. Easy grab.
John?
Grab.
Shadow John? Elon, are you going to block grab on that Magikarp? Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I'll grab it.
Well, all right, here we go. All right, now let's take it to the still images here. These are pulled from Twitter, from Reddit, and I didn't get the ones off of YouTube, but let's start off here. Polygon.com has Ronald McDonald. Block or grab? Make it quick. Rapid fire. Block grab on Ronald McDonald.
Gonna block. I don't feel like it like has any specific place in there. Like it's okay.
That's a grab. That is, you know exactly who that is right away. It's well done. Grab.
Yeah, that probably took some time. It's not perfect. It's definitely like 70s Ronald McDonald, but that's fine in and of itself. No, I'll grab it. It's not my favorite, but I'll grab it.
And
with
we...
that,
What?
Y'all don't know about those Japanese memes. Go ahead.
I don't.
Fast food's bad for you. I'm a block.
There you go. It's going to block your arteries is what it's going to do.
When has that ever stopped me?
Do you remember how much McDonald's we had that one time at CEO, Steve?
God. It was okay. It was
Popeyes across the street?
Was it CEO?
Because we were staying off. We weren't staying at the Wyndham. So our hotel, we literally had to cross through the McDonald's parking lot to get there. So it was basically the easiest place to go.
All right.
When you go to final round, you either go to Spondovitz or you go to McDonald's. So you do Spondovitz one night and every other meal is McDonald's. At least where they used to be. I don't know if they're still there. I don't think they are.
No, they're at the Gadget Center now.
Shout out to Concept 5 for something. All right, moving on. Our next block grab, we have... Damn, I forgot her name.
Morgan.
Morgan, there it is. Ivy is Morgan. Block or grab?
Block.
Block?
I don't know. Like,
just doesn't do it for you?
I think I've seen so many characters as Morgan at this point. I'm just like, eh.
Over it?
Block.
All right, that's a block. John? Steve?
I don't...
Sorry.
That could be Chun-Li for all I know. Yeah, like...
Was that John?
Like that looks like a well done, like given what they have to work with. It's like, oh yeah, you spent some time and you made it, and I recognize it's definitely Morgan. It doesn't look as good as like a PC mod version from Street Fighter V Morgan or something like that.
Doesn't look as good as Ivy does.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, don't mess with my Ivy. She equally helped me come online, you know, now. It was Taki, Ivy, and Goldman. They all sent me into that.
Voldo?
It's good. It's like a good, it's a well done thing. It's just, it's not amazing because if you're comparing it to mods and stuff.
Steve, no, just go, no, go forward, please.
I mean, you know, live your best life, whatever. I'm going to grab. I'm not too hard to please in created character modes.
All right. Right on. You're impressed. Elon, quickly block or grab on these. We got to move fast. We got a lot of these.
Yeah, I'm a block.
All right, blocking that. We're going to stick with the Capcom theme. Here we have the president of Earth. G. In Soul Calibur.
That's not tall enough block.
If you're going to get me, you have to have some sort of like the weapon the character uses has to fit in, or it has to be funny or creative in some way outside of just copy-pasting another fighting game character.
Come on, dude. He looks identical.
Block!
All right, block. Steve?
The pose does it for me. Grab.
John?
I'm going to block. And the only way I would grab this is if his hat was like Doug Dimmadome from Fairly Odd Parents, where it extends above the frame. just forever. That would be tight. In fact, is there a Doug Dimmadome?
There is. I've seen it. I don't remember where I saw it, but I
need
seen
it. Does the hat go up forever?
Yeah.
That's, I want that. Grab on that one, not this one.
Elon, block or grab on G.
You know, I want more creativity, block.
Jesus. All right. Again, sticking in the Capcom Jesus. Theme, here we have Hugo.
Whoa.
What you got?
I almost like this one more because it looks like some weird, like, reimagining of Hugo is, like, very creepy. And, like, he's, like,
it's
holding...
It's reanimated Hugo.
Theoretically, he's holding, like, Astaroth's axe, but you can instead insert whatever you want in there. So, I'll grab.
That's a grab. Steve, even though it's a copy-paste of Hugo, Mike grab.
Oh, dude, I am just impressed that Tommy Wiseau was able to
bulk up. Yeah, it looks like Tommy Wiseau Hugo. That's a good point.
I'm going to
bring that. I did not.
I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark. That's Block.
Okay, John.
We've had too much fun with it for me to block it, so I'm going to grab it.
Elon?
Yeah, I was going to block it until Tommy Wiseau stepped in the picture, so grab it.
All right, the next one we have is still Street Fighter related.
Ooh, Necro, that looks good. House.
What you got, dude?
That's a, that like looks dope? Good, but like I don't know if I wanted that to be in 3D. Like I'm like somewhere in between on this one.
Yeah, so that's a block. It's a blarb.
I like this one. I'll grab it.
Okay,
I'm impressed.
Steve.
I'm gonna block. I don't know. He doesn't look like Tommy Wiseau enough.
That's a good point. You're right. John?
The rubric has changed. I think it was a good. I think it was a good attempt. Is his nose really that elongated? Normally,
it's not. It's definitely okay. Not. Is it?
So they just were like, "Well, this needs some kind of a dick reference in it." So I guess I'll put it on the nose to be different.
All right.
That block. I guess I'll block it.
Yeah, I don't know. The nostril underneath the giant pointy nose is weird. I'm blocking.
I'm blocking here. All right. We're going to leave Capcom and hit up some Nintendo characters here. What do y'all think of Captain Falcon?
Ooh, that's really good.
Mike, what you got?
I don't know. It's just like...
He's even got a Falcon Punch.
It does look kind of good. I'm conflicted here. I feel like the eyes look weird, but that's probably the best he could have done. I'll go with it. I'll grab it. I'm impressed.
All right. Dude, that's like unmistakably. All right, Steve?
That's an easy grab. You know, the eyes make it kind of look like Robin cosplaying as Captain Falcon, but I still like it. Grab.
Juanelo, what you got?
I like it. Grab. Grabsies.
Elon?
That's not a falcon. That's a dragon block.
All right, moving on to the next one. Do you think of Donkey Kong?
I'll take Donkey Kong anywhere I can get him, so I'm going to grab.
All right, Steve, what you got, buddy?
I don't know what kind of weekend Donkey Kong had. It's not one I want to take part of. Block.
It doesn't look like hair. It looks like plastic. Like the whole thing is just like plastic suit. And but it's good. I like it. I'll grab. I'll grab.
All right, that's a grab. Elon?
Donkey Kong wears a tie, not an ascot block.
All right.
He would pull it off, though.
For sure. Now we have, if you're familiar with Kill La Kill, this is dead on, dude. This looks a lot like that character when her little outfit becomes sentient or whatever the hell. I watched
this
a couple episodes.
Stupid.
Well, the character design is stupid. We're not judging whether or not you think the character is stupid. We're saying, does it look a lot like this?
Are those supposed to be suspenders, or does she usually have, like...
They're not, like, suspenders. It's weird. You have to watch the show.
Well,
they're
I'm not going
anime
to, so
suspenders.
There's suspenders that go under her bra?
Those yes, don't look practical.
It's anime. Just deal with it.
Well, that's not realistic. Block.
Block.
Look, I don't want to say I'm going to grab because that has some very bad implications. I agree with this costume.
That's a grab. Elon?
I never watched Kill la Kill, Block.
All right.
You should. It's a good show.
Next one.
Are any of these just like not just copying another character from something else?
So
like,
you wanted like original creations?
Maybe, yeah. Like,
I don't have a one.
Creation.
Like, I don't have a one.
If I still had my Tony Hawk like Pro Skater 2, you would see some real interesting designs.
Here we have Alucard, Castlevania, Symphony of the Night. Look.
Block.
Steve?
Yeah.
Like, what does Lizard Dick?
We did not put Lizard Dick in here because this is a family show.
Is it?
Yeah, motherfuckers.
Oh, God. I'm going to grab just because.
I bet you are. John?
I think this is really well done, but the rubric that we're using has changed. And I'm not exactly sure how to articulate what the standard is for getting grabbed here, but this doesn't get grabbed. So block.
Okay, Elon?
Alucard has a cape, not a hand, whatever that is, cloth. So I'm a block.
You're a real stickler for them deets, man. All right, here we have the clear front runner, wide chest Kylo Ren. Sure, there's Kylo Ren up in here.
This meets the criteria for sure.
The only problem was
if they could pull up the pants.
Yeah, if
further,
they could make the pants go higher,
I would give it a grab. And I almost want to because I appreciate the idea, but I have to block.
This is as they call him, Ben Swolo. Maybe they could put a belt on him or something, or maybe like a tattoo, or like, isn't there like stamps you can put on the characters? Some kind of like band across his belly button would really seal the deal here. But yeah, that's pretty grab worthy. Steve, what you got, buddy?
I refuse to grab anything Star Wars related.
You
so I'm
son of
block.
A gun. How dare you? John?
Who's the guy at the end of Spooky Streams from that famous demon fighter movie?
Riccio.
Riccio, yes. He looks like Riccio. But I love the joke here. Yeah, you really do need to cover up the belly button to really capture the magic. But still, a for effort to grab.
Elon?
I've never watched the newer ones, so block.
You son of a gun. And last but not least, here in our block grab, goodness. We have Sonic Fox. Zoom in on that, would
this
you,
This has
Elon?
To be a grab. This is, like, almost disturbingly accurate.
It's pretty good, right?
Like, did Sonic Fox make it?
I'm incredibly impressed by what they managed to pull off with this character editor.
So there you go. That's a grab, then, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, he's even got his Echo Fox garb. He's got the bushy blue tail and the ears. It's pretty dead on, man. Steve?
It is scary how accurate this is. I will grab so long as I don't have to follow this character's Twitter.
John, block a grab on Sonic Fox in Soul Calibur 6.
I can't. I don't love this, and I don't know why, but I can't not grab it because I think it's really well done. So... grab.
Take the buses. I actually got shivers. Elon?
Sonic Fox has blue hands, not silver, so block.
Elon,
get out of here.
All right, that brings us to the end of block grab. Block or grab on whether or not that was a good segment.
While we debate this, I'm going to watch Magic Carpet a few more times.
Block.
It was fine.
It was fine.
Best. Right. For sure the best.
Okay, back to the show, guys. We've had our fun. Let's discuss the topic of the hour, the most important thing that we will discuss today, and that is that DreamHack is moving from Austin to Dallas.
Ooh,
we're in Dallas. Maybe it's the Boil Water Band that they're like.
I was going to say, yeah.
I'm super sad about it. I'm obviously very biased.
But for what it's worth, Dallas is really stepping up their game in the esports space by building actually brand new arenas. Our boy Panda... Jonathan Othone is out there doing work.
I think most people are kind of sad about it.
100%. But Dallas is like making a case for why it should be there.
Whatever.
And that's the end of the show. Just kidding. All right. So we do have some other topics here. Before we get to the reduction in lag in Street Fighter V, which has gone live, it's a brand new game if you ask me, we're going to talk about the CPT Latin American Regional Final. Steve, what you got for us, bud?
Yeah, they finally announced the details for that CPT final. It will take place the first weekend of November, and there will be a 128-player limit on the open qualifier. Just before we went live, there was actually a bit of breaking news regards to this. MenRD went to Twitter... that if you're on the bubble, that's not good, because Cobb and Mena are two guys who are already in the field. You want them to take up as many points as you can to keep that bubble low. So that's going – and it's also going to impact who makes the Latin American finals. So if – I don't know if you're able to pull that up.
No, I didn't hear you. Did we talk about the money yet? Is there still no money on the line?
Yeah, because of Brazilian gambling law. They cannot award prize money for fighting.
Absolute garbage. It's like it ruins the integrity.
Nerf Brazil.
And it hurts the whole Pro Tour for that reason.
So that means, as of right now, if you take Mena and Caba out, then 150 points is enough to get into the Latin America finals as of right now. So we'll see. It's frustrating that, you know, there's obviously real world situations going on. There's obviously things outside of Capcom's control, but it's frustrating to see a stage like this not have the best players possible. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they are able to announce things more than 3 weeks out next year, because that I feel is, I know there's a lot of moving parts, but 2 weeks out actually. So
award them a solid gold trophy. That would that's Jamuk's solution. Now let's get to the real topic at hand, what everybody wants to talk about with respect to Street Fighter V, and that is, of course, their new Street Fighter V fragrances. This is the Electric Power Hadouken. It's 110 Brazilian reals, or $30. 100 milliliters of this beautiful scented...
It's kind of swaggy. I want some.
And here is the tag on it. The force of citrus elements and spices united in a single electric thrust with maximum power and refreshment.
Oh,
marine cords increase electric charges, triggering even more excitement for the final battle.
That's quite the description. Whoever wrote that was really...
Was that... did you translate that from Portuguese to English?
No, or? That was... Steve Google. Was kind enough to do it.
Google did.
Oh, that's the
is it way off? Is it way off? This is better. This is better. They should have this as the official.
Yeah, I agree.
And of course, that's not all. They also have, you guessed it, Fire Attack.
Wait, are they T-posing next to each other? That's the same.
Are you ready for the Fire Attack Shoryuken description?
They're asserting their dominance on each other next to each other. That's insane.
Or maybe they're trying to like hold their arms out so they can waft the scent over to each to one another. But let's hear what this one has to say. A powerful wave of heat from notes of woods and spices will heat this blow. Burning and spicy herbal nuances will instigate the competition and ignite the final battle.
They're just like, yeah, let's do it.
Is the bottle a boxing glove?
Yeah, it's a partnership with Everlast. So you have, because when I think of cologne, I want to think of a fighting game and a freaking boxing glove.
Block or grab on Street Fighter scented cologne?
Block. No, I mean, grab. I was so confused. I said block. I meant grab. I'm like my whole world is turned upside down. Like Ken and Balrog were dominating so hard.
Stevie, can block anyone or grab
who can
on
get, can we buy these in the U.S.?
If we can get a bottle here, we'll do a giveaway and send somebody some Fierce Attack or some.
Get me as many as we can. I'll buy them all.
A hey, fire attack you, or electric car. If you give car. Me the money, I will order them. I will risk my credit
Elon,
card.
You got some connections in Brazil, don't you?
Can we give them away? To me?
Don't you have some connections in Brazil? You can order these. Are these from Brazil? Where are they being sold?
They're on the. That was from the Brazilian site, yeah. But
oh, this is what link the Steve linked.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen. Yeah,
this is from Agua de Cherio. Or Cherio. I am
Agua de Cherio?
All right.
Portuguese.
Come to Miso, guys.
We're having fun. Okay.
Agua Cheerios. Okay. Is this like a new tactic? Yeah. Are they going to like shower them as they come into tournaments now with electric fire shoryuken or whatever it is? Like, I don't know. I love it.
I bet you do.
I love it.
Positively have to not get laid. Try some.
Now you have to beat him with a stick with this stuff, man. I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness. I need way more burning and spicy herbal nuances in my life, so I grab.
Dude, ask and receive is all I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Everyone's pulled up the actual real news of Street Fighter V today.
Okay, y'all ready to talk about the real stuff?
Yes.
All right, well, give me a second because I got to pull it up. It's going to be, this is really, it's been a long time coming. I don't think a lot of people expected this, but it's,
yeah, it's
pretty
been
exciting.
2 years since the game came out. 2 full years.
2.5 years.
2.5 years.
But it's finally coming out. People are real excited about this. Let's talk about it. Wait.
Waiting.
Here
waiting.
We go. Let's talk about it, guys. Here it is. Special.
God.
You can get Dante's red trench coat. It's game perfect. It looks identical. You'll be the swaggiest son of a gun on the planet. And you could be rocking this plus the cologne to your next tournament if you pony up the cash. Now, hey, you might be saying, FN, why are we looking at this? You're right. There's also the Nero jacket. Is that Nero or Virgil? What are their names?
I think that's Virgil, right?
Whatever the hell.
It's Nero.
One of them, Blanco Ninos. And if that's not enough, there's this nondescript new character who is real emo. So block or grab on those outfits,
that's
guys.
That's the main singer from Panic at the Disco. Yeah, that's who that is.
You're grabbing on all those, right?
Yes.
Okay. Guys, the real news.
I don't believe you anymore.
Their time's a charm, pal. They reduced the lag, and we have some graphs to help illustrate the point. We're going to talk about it right here, live on
Thank
Best
you,
of
I don't know
five.
How we are supposed to pronounce his name, W-Y-D-D. Truly the hero of the FGC for... I mean, his setup for recording and testing this is incredible. He records it at such in so many frames per second, you can actually see the screen drawing the actual game. So the accuracy is pinpoint. And you can tell that everything there is 100% good to go.
You know what I like about it is, like, even if you don't understand, it's not like that hard to understand, but the way it's visually represented here is like, oh, wow. And then you compare it and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it's finally we're at a point where we're not just making up numbers and screaming them on stream. Like, we have the real numbers.
Elon, show me those not made up numbers, please. Do we have a graphic of them?
Which one do you want?
Show me what it looked like and then transition before to what it looks like now.
So this is the before.
So okay. As you can notice, the big deal and what came out with W, like, everyone thought, oh, the input lag in this game is random. Turns out it's extremely non-random. It's just cyclical. And that usually the lag for a given button press is either 5 or 6 frames, which is already problematic enough. But at the end of the cycle, it goes down to 7. And then for a frame or 2, depending, it goes back down to 4. So depending on, like, a 1-frame difference, your button press might come out 4 or 7 frames later. This is obviously problematic because, you know, you get used to a 5 or 6 frame leniency to do something, and then sometimes it's 7 and you miss it and you die and your anti-air becomes eating a jump in. And so this was a huge problem and most people's biggest problem with the game.
Okay. Now hit us with what it looks like now.
Now we have usually 5 frames of input lag with occasional dips to 4. And a really nice thing about that is that the average is higher than, like, where the dips go.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a situation where you're used to 5 and it sometimes goes to 7, at worst, if you get used to 5, it's going to be faster. So you're never going to try to check a dash and then, oh no, the input delay is slower. It'll only be faster than what you're used to.
Right.
So you can get used to what 5 frames of input delay means for your reactions and be confident that that will be what the game picks up.
Now, we already discussed this before it dropped. Get it dropped. But just to reiterate, is anybody else just so surprised that they actually went and fixed the lag on Street Fighter V? How many years of this meme have we had, and people have used that as one of the reasons why this game isn't worthy, among other reasons? But now we have it. Do we all have to just shut up and enjoy the game?
I'm not shocked that it happened. I felt like this was something that Capcom needed to do at some point, even though it's not going to be something that sells a lot of copies of Street Fighter V. Let's be honest.
It's not, yeah, if, totally.
Yeah. If this is what you were waiting on for Street Fighter V, you probably would have made that decision at some point over the last 2.5 years. So this isn't going to be the big needle mover. But what it does do is that it starts instilling faith from the community, saying, hey, you know, Capcom actually addressed this. That gives us faith in whatever that next project is going to be, whether that's Marvel 4, whether that's Street Fighter 6, whether that's something else. You know, at least people have something to hang on to that says, hey, you know, I have hope that this will be good going forward.
Now, one thing people are mentioning in the chat that is true is that this has been a problem for all Unreal Engine games. And a fix in the Unreal Engine is what allowed them to make this change. And now some people are arguing maybe they shouldn't have made the game this, maybe they shouldn't have made the game that. But obviously, the input lag isn't usually for a company like Capcom that's selling a game not only to competitive players but to everyone, the deciding factor on what engine they're going to use to make their game. So a big part of this was out of Capcom's hands, to be fair to them. Although it was kind of ludicrous before.
Well, and the situation with Tekken was similar, right? But Tekken chose to fix things up. And is that a fair comparison, though?
I think the better comparison would actually be Soul Calibur 6, because we have that graph of the lag time right now, where it averages right now 6 frames, but sometimes it dips down to 5, occasionally dip down to 4, and sometimes it jumps up to 7. So we have not quite an exact version, because it's not as cyclical or nearly as cyclical as Street Fighter V was, but you have, you know, a new game having to deal with this. And, you know, that jumps into the issue of, well, is Soul Calibur getting the benefit of the doubt because it's not Street Fighter, or because it's not supposed to be the competitive game, or whatever reason you have. But that's a whole other issue.
So that's what's happened. It's available now, right?
Like, yes, it's available out now.
You can boot it up and update your game. And
shout out again to WIDD. Go to his Twitter. He has everything, graphs of old games.
I think he has a Patreon or something, a donation page that I think that the FGC could, you know, you're justified in giving him a few bucks if you want to, because he has done a lot of diligence.
Yeah, and even like the stealth changes in every patch, like you can 100% know that he's going to post every tiny change and describe it for you, because he knows the system of Street Fighter V that well. So, really good guy to follow.
Now, let's get a refresher on what this means for the game. Who are the winners and losers? We were talking about, for example, Punk. He just got picked up again. He uses Karin. Is he in a better shape or in worse shape?
I think... So, it's one of those things where, yet again, like, I don't think people are going to be affected that hugely directly on this, like, grand scale. Because still, it's usually going to be, you know, 5 frames from when you press it. But it will be more consistent. And I think Karin and Punk are examples of something that will obviously do better, because he's a footsie-reliant player. Karin doesn't have a lot of gimmicks that rely on you reacting late. Her dash isn't great. Her jump is bad. She doesn't really have... And the only thing that might get worse is, like, EX command dashing in your face, but that wasn't very effective anyway. So, yeah, he's a winner.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if he'll be a big winner, because, yes, you know, the improvements make his game, his particular game, stronger. But other players are going to see improvements in their game too. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to be so noticeable that, you know, you'll see him all of a sudden winning grand finals or winning a premier event at the same clip he was last year during his run of dominance. So it will, at the very least, it will give players more peace of mind to know that if something going down, it's not necessarily because they hit a random lag cycle.
I mean, you can win or lose a game because you're used to blocking overheads on 5 frames, and then it happens to be 7 frames, and, oh, I pressed back, and I didn't get it till 7 frames later. I missed by a frame or two. Shit, I lost that round. That does not happen anymore.
John, what do you think, man?
I think that we have to wait. Okay, so some of this is fair to talk about right now. And you can go in, and I'm very aware of the placebo effect when I sit down and I press the button, like, whoa, it came out faster. It's like, are you really registering it on that level on like 60ths of a second? Maybe, maybe not. But what I do think is going to happen is that people are going to continue to play how they've been conditioned to play. And the things that were working before won't work quite as much. And because of that, it's going to take a lot of time. But people are going to start shifting over naturally to, well, what does work? So you're going to see less EX Dolphin dives out of nowhere and things of that sort. And I think it will, in time, change the kind of meta approach to the game in certain avenues. Now, how big of a change? We'll have to wait and see. But I think that this is significant because I do think that the input lag is something that it has very far-reaching roots and very far-reaching implications for this game. So I'm very intrigued to see where things go with the meta, where things go with the general gameplay, where things go with the excuses now that we technically don't have that anymore. going back to what you guys were saying earlier about what Steve was saying about the look of Capcom in the eyes of the community, this is amidst a few other really good things that they've done, you know, with Arcade Edition, with updates. They've shown an acknowledgement of the people, of the fans, that for a while there, like, it was very disheartening. We felt really good for Ultra Street Fighter 4. It wasn't perfect, but it had a lot of positivity around it. And then 5 dropped, and there were all of the crap that happened, plus the lack of communication. It's like, myself included, a lot of people lost a lot of faith in Capcom. And the moves that they've been making, I would say mostly here in 2018, have been very, very good and restoring that faith from the community. I don't know where to point the blame for this positive movement, you know, internally and whatnot. It doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is, Capcom's doing good by fans again, and that's a really important thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can make another, like, if their next patch, you know, hits people in a good way, you start to get a positive momentum train. And then, you know, hopefully it comes in time. It's just funny because I'm just imagining a world where Street Fighter 6 comes out and people are going to be like, oh yeah, Street Fighter 5 2018, much better fighting game than this. And well, it's going to happen, and I'm going to laugh.
Something I think we should – I was doing dishes earlier thinking about all of this.
The first.
And the dishes have nothing to do with the story. But it's just when I remember recalling this. You think about Third Strike and the story for that game, how it first came out and what it was. It completely changed in huge ways. Including, like, they didn't have any legacy characters when the game first dropped. And it wasn't Third Strike, it was Street Fighter 3. And they updated a lot of huge things to make that game into what it became. Street Fighter 4, there wasn't as much complaining because the FGC wasn't as focused on fighting games as they were between Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 5. Everybody was already had their magnifying glasses out and were analyzing every little, you know, tidbit about Street Fighter 5 because of the success of 4. But when 4 came out, like, if you think back to vanilla and how broken that game was and how many different ways, it's like there were a lot of changes that needed to happen between vanilla 4 when we got to Ultra. And there was a lot of dumb stuff there, too. And so you go, well, Street Fighter 5, it's been 2.5 years. This is kind of the normal trajectory for, like, shit hits the fan. It's really bad in certain ways. And then Capcom eventually fixes it. And what you're left with is a game that you truly do enjoy playing on a lot of different levels. And so it's like, you know, you look at the past with rose-colored glasses because you oftentimes remember, like, the best things about a game. But I think that this is more or less the regular story for a Capcom fighting game that's successful. And another point to bring up, there are Capcom fighting games that are not successful to the point of death. You know, look back at Cross Tekken, look back at Infinite. Like, it's not a free pass for Capcom. So it's not to say that Street Fighter V didn't hang on for various reasons. Like, it was a good enough game to not completely die.
But let me ask you this, though. Back when Vanilla came out in Street Fighter IV, how many other fighting games were nearly that popular? How much competition did Capcom have? Compare that to the amount of competition in terms of fighting game franchises around in 2016. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different ballgame now. So the idea of putting out a vanilla and then, okay, you know, this is sort of like the rough, the beta, you know, it will eventually get to the game it's going to be in like 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's time for that sort of approach anymore. You know, yes, you want to make improvements as the game goes along. Yes, you know, new season passes and whatnot are the way things are going. But that base gameplay, I feel like, has to be strong out of the box now.
That very well may be the case. Like say we skip forward to Street Fighter VI, if they have a similar launch to Street Fighter V, yeah, there are a lot of other options now. And that happened like over the last year or two, right? With as many, I guess you could say, AAA titles and whatnot. So I hear you there, absolutely. At the same time, Capcom has a lot of fans that are going to stick around and wait things out longer than other games will. So yeah, there's definitely some truth in that. Hopefully we don't have to do that experiment again. And hopefully whenever the next Capcom fighting game comes out, they learn from their immediate mistakes. And I have faith that they will. Whatever changes happened at Capcom HQ, whatever they did like to level this up and to start listening to, you know, the crowds and what people wanted and make these adjustments, like they're doing it at least right now. And so it's like, well, hey, based on recent resume, like I have faith that you guys could potentially pull this kind of a thing off. So hopefully we don't have to find an answer to that question. And hopefully just Street Fighter VI or whatever it is going to have a strong launch and basically learn from the mistakes of the past.
Shout outs to Kwanzai for the sub. 11 months, almost at the 1 year mark. Yay.
I still cannot believe that we've got people who have been following us and subscribed to us for a year. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, and worthy of note, we started this stream with like 10 subs to go for a new emote. Now we're 4 away.
Hey, what's up with that?
Hey, everyone, get your mom to get a to use her Amazon Prime account to give us a... Is that still a thing or not?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
everyone get your mom's Amazon Prime account and subscribe.
If we have anybody in the chat watching right now, if you click up on the subscribe button and it says subscribe with Twitch Prime, you might as well just use it here. You're going to forget it's there later. So
hey, semi-efficient. That's a semi-efficient plug one. There. Damn.
Dude, bro, I can't believe this actually works.
Oh, there we go. I think we got it.
All right, new emote.
New emote coming up. Thank you, guys. That means a lot.
We will ask. I'll put it to Twitter what you guys want to see. Thank you guys so much.
That's all Alon. Alon is like trying to earn that paycheck over here. Okay. Two final questions, and then we'll finish off. Or actually, one final question. We'll finish off with your Tekken scenarios here, Steve.
We're not going to show them. Come on, never mind.
We don't have. We do actually have Mortal Kombat 11 trailer for you guys, but it's so hot, we're going to have to save it for next week. Keep you guys waiting. Kwanzai, thank you for all the sub gifts. My goodness.
Are we millionaires?
We're millionaires.
Well, the Texas Mega Billions.
Yeah. Thank you.
You get a car, and you get a sub, and you get a sub.
Kwanzai, die by sword. I hope you two win Powerball tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys are the Oprahs of Twitch subscriptions.
Yeah, dude. Shout outs. Much appreciated. All
right. Let me thank everybody real quick. It'll be quick, I
promise. All right, Alon is going to thank everybody.
All right, so let's see. So Concept 5, Tubbs Jerry, Kwanzai, Semi-Efficient, Dude Brew, Tubbs Jerry again. I don't know how. Die by Sword gifted sub to Martine. Kwanzai with the Fiverr going to Dark Hollow, Kevamati, Res to Water, God Sasquatch, and Silverback 98, and UV Smirk with a resubscription for 10 months, and Tap2GG with the Twitch Prime. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, buds.
Thank you.
We're feeling the loves.
Yo, hit him with the GIF.
Right, well, isn't there supposed to be a Chun-Li costume raffle this one?
Oh, shit. Yeah, because you keep... It's the...
Oh, wait, and there was another raffle, too, wasn't there?
We'll do that next week.
All right. We got some stuff for you.
Well, we got Mortal Kombat 11 for you next week. We've got
some giveaways.
And you know what? I'll come out and say it. We will give away a copy of Soul Calibur 6 next week.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, I hope I win that.
You're not eligible to enter. Maybe Sith Lord John can enter. And we have a Chun costume to give away, courtesy of Michael Donka Schiller. It's this gentleman right here. Okay, in that case, I was going to ask the question, but we can save it, is if we look at the people who are... Because the thing is, Street Fighter V is arguably a different game on some level as of today. Who are the winners and losers with respect to the people that are qualified for Capcom Pro Tour? Or is anybody like, damn, dude, I might have won and now my chances are worse? But we can say that for another time. This weekend is Canada Cup, and that's always an exciting event. I'm looking forward to watching that. But we're going to finish off the show with Steve breaking down different scenarios. We have a nice visual representation as well of who gets in, how, and why. Steve, take it away.
Yeah, so Canada Cup, like I said earlier, is the final event of the Tekken World Tour. So everyone in the top 19 after this weekend will get their spot in the Tekken World Tour Finals. There will be one spot left up for grabs at the last chance qualifier the day before the finals. So you do not want to go through those shark-infested waters. You want to get it done here. Let's take a look at the first part of the breakdown. The top seven that I've highlighted. These are all players who have a chance to get one of the top four seeds. And those are important because the top four players will be put into different pools. So if you're in that number four spot, you don't have to deal with knee in pool play. You know, you still got strong players, but you don't have to deal with knee. You don't have to deal with John Ding, and you don't have to deal with Kudans. Saint has that spot, and it does look like he will have that spot at the end of the tournament because none of those seven players are slated to compete at Canada Cup as of now. But there is emergency registration in case anyone changes their mind. Looking at the other players who have qualified, 8 through 15, these guys have all clinched spots. Super Akuma was going to be in Canada Cup, but he refunded everyone's money who contributed to his GoFundMe. So as of right now, the only two players who are registered are Fergus and Joey Fury. They both have a chance to get into the top 10, and you want to be as early up in the standings as possible because you pick your group in order of ranking. So if you're 18th, 19th, you're not going to have any choice of who you play and who you avoid among those top seeds first round. Then we get to the guys who have the spot as of right now but are still at risk. Naroma and Jimmy J will not be a Canada Cup. Naroma is pretty much in. Jimmy J, not so much. He is at serious risk of getting knocked out. The Yamasa boys were not scheduled to go, but they are both heading out there. So in short, Nobi, if he gets top six, he's in. If he doesn't get top six, he needs a few of those chasing players to not get top five or top six as well. And Take, if he wins, he's in. But he can get in. If he finishes top four, he doesn't have all that much to worry about. If he finishes below that, then things get dicey. And then you've got that group of players who are still alive chasing. So Dimeback, Run It Black, Speed Kicks, Abel Del Maestro is going to be there as well. Toko as of now is not. So it's those four that are going to be the ones to watch. Dimeback, he needs to get at the very minimum top six. So if he has another weekend like he had at Berlin, he's going to be out. But he needs at least top six. Honestly, top four will probably be the target he looks for. Run It Black needs at least top three, probably top two. There are some scenarios where top three is enough. Speed Kicks and Abo, they both need to win, and they need help. So it's not completely in their hands, but they have to win to have any sort of hope of getting in. And like I said, check out TekkenWorldTour.com later this week. I will have a full breakdown of every single possibility for each of those nine players on the bubble.
Thank you, Steve, very much for that awesome breakdown. I'm excited. I'm informed. I'm engaged. I appreciate it.
I thought you were married.
I am.
She know about that?
I appreciated that joke, Steve.
Yuck. All right. So we're about to wrap things up, but I do want to shout out to Ultra Chen. They're coming on immediately after us, and they have a badass stacked show. This is what they got on the show. Soul Calibur 6 is out, our review so far, featuring special guest Floji-san. If that's not enough, they'll also break down or review ECT, East Coast Throwdown, and the Master Cup. They're going to preview Canada Cup with special guests Killer Miller Time and L Trouble SRK and Atari FGC. And if that's not enough, they're also going to talk about Tetris Esports. Did y'all see that? James Chen commentating the Tetris World Championships? It's fantastic.
That grand final was sick. That grand final was absolutely ridiculous. Even if you're not a Tekken fan, you should watch it.
Indeed. This has been Best of Five, weekly FGC talk show presented by us. This is Michael Donka Schiller. You can follow him at @DotsDonka. He's got hot takes every once in a while. That's Steve Ace King, Offsuit Jurek. Follow him on Twitter and read his stuff on thetekkenworldtour.com. And none other than Mom Spaghetti, Sith Lord John Velociraptor Guerrero. He writes for eventhubs.com. Who's on the podcast this week?
Oh, it's just Catalyst tonight.
What y'all talking about?
We are talking about the actual effects of the input lag delay. So I got to get off here and play some Street Fighter V so I find out what it's actually like.
Right on, homie. All right, guys. Thank you very much for watching, and we will see you next week. Go watch Ultra Chen.